We're going to pray. Let's pray together. Lord, this is just an awesome privilege to come together to worship you. Lord, as we look around today and we see friends and the fellowship that we have here, the power that comes through that, we thank you for that. Lord, in a world right now that is isolated and dark and hurting, we want to be a light. We want to be a light for you. Thank you for your many blessings to us, and we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, yes, and I always forget to say this, but welcome to our Facebook folks out there watching on Facebook Live. And Jason, I'm not so sure that maybe Pastor Kevin and Libby are watching. So you better behave, right? We've got to watch ourselves. Many of you have already gotten boxes. We actually have people who can't come sending messages to bring them boxes so they can fill those up and send them in November. So before you leave today, let me encourage you to grab one or two of these or four or five of those. And if you're out there watching us on Facebook and you would like for someone to bring you some of these empty boxes that will be turned in and sent all over the world, you don't want that. And one of the greatest things here, Charles, in this whole building is that clock right there, right? So we can keep track of what's, yeah. Is it right?
It's not right.
I hope it's right, yeah. So we're glad you're here today. Pastor Kevin and Libby are out traveling, and I don't know if we're supposed to say it, Jason. He has a birthday this week, doesn't he? So if you guys can send him a text or something, happy birthday on the 14th, I believe it is. So we won't tell you how old he is, but have a great time. Here's a question. People are asking this question all around the world right now. They're asking Christians. They're asking each other. They're asking people if they're Christians, non-Christians, no matter who. Does prayer work? They're asking that question. How do we pray? That's another question. Does God answer every prayer? How does God speak to us? The world is asking these questions more than ever right now. And if we don't have an answer, shame on us. We need to have an answer to those questions. What about prayer? And today that's what we're going to talk about. It reminded me of the guy that came down front like we do right here and said to the pastor, Pastor, would you pray for my hearing? Man, the pastor put his hands over his ears, prayed for him for about a minute or so, and he took his hands away and he said, how's your hearing? He said, I don't know. It's not till Tuesday. Chalk one up. A few laughs. A couple laughs. I was looking back and some of the messages that have come from Pastor Kevin and Charles have just been fantastic. I was just looking back on some of these, one on marriage, that Charles did, on unity in the church, apologetics, how do I defend the faith, the message they did the very first week together where they shared the message. Pastor Kevin talked about be still and know, just put your hands down and relax. How about the one about the giants? Some of y'all were here for that one. I loved the way he was able to pronounce that one giant's name, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Bob. I think that was close. And not being shaken, another one, great message here. Labor Day, how winners work. The power of being a one-thing person, serving God no matter what. Those are messages. Matter of fact, they're all online if you go back. I'm almost afraid to ask, how many of you are embarrassed in church to raise your hand? Jim, sorry about that. I'm afraid to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many of you have been here ever since that first message where Pastor Kevin and Pastor Charles preached together? Anybody been here every week? How about that? That's awesome. I think we ought to give them a hand for just coming out and being here right in the middle of this pandemic, too. So I was going to, you know, we pick on Kevin every week about the University of Tennessee. I think they got stomped yesterday, but we won't say that. But I was asking Charles, I said, Charles, who's your favorite college team? He doesn't have one. I said, what about Irene? She doesn't have one. So I'm going down the line. Becca, what's your favorite college team? Football, I'm sorry. Should be a little more specific. South Carolina? Andrew, what about you? Clemson. Did you hear about what happened up there? They had a guy that had been there so long. I'm afraid to tell this story now, but Andrew, I'm sorry, I got to tell it. A guy had been there so long, and he had been taking classes for like 15 to 20 years and couldn't graduate. And finally they said, hold on. Is it Dabo? They said, we're going to put him out there at halftime. His name's Charlie. We're going to put Charlie out there at halftime on the 50-yard line. When the whole crowd's there, we're asking one question. If he gets that question right, we're going to go ahead and give him his diploma right then. His degree will be given to him at halftime of the football game. If he misses it, he's out, never to come back to Clemson. So here we go. Pressure's on old Charlie. Charlie's out there on the 50-yard line. The president of the university comes out. He stands there. The deans are all lined up, but they got the diploma ready. And they said, oh, Charlie, here's your question. What is 7 plus 7? Old Charlie took a second to think about it. Finally, he got to the microphone and said, 14. You wouldn't believe this, but 80,000 people hollered, give him another chance. Sorry about that, Andrew. We went to the National Creative Arts Ministry thing in Nashville about 15, 20 years ago. And believe it or not, I went to a class. Charles, the class was entitled How to Tell a Joke. An hour-long class on how to tell a joke. It didn't work, by the way. But one of the things is you don't ever tell people you're going to tell a joke before you tell a joke. So I may or may not tell some jokes throughout here. And we're tackling this tough question. What is prayer? And you know the best way to learn how to pray is to look at how Jesus prayed. Jesus gave us an example of how to pray. Look at I hope you got an outline when you came in. We're going to talk about 6 keys very quickly about powerful prayer life. 6 keys to how you and I can have powerful prayer in our life that God can speak to us and we can speak to Him. And you know the disciples watched all the miracles that Jesus did. They watched the feeding of the 5,000. They watched Him walk on water. Remember the storm came up and He calmed the storm? And they would have been very easy for them to say, Lord, teach us how to feed 5,000 people with a little lunch. Teach us how to walk on water. That would be cool, especially out here at Folly Beach. How do we walk on water? Lord, show us. But you know what they said? Look at that verse, Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. They knew that the most important thing that Jesus did was pray. They wanted to know how to pray. And then Jesus goes on to tell them in Matthew chapter 6, back in the Sermon on the Mount, this then is how you should pray. I'd like for us to say it together. Now, you may say the King James, you may say one that you've learned, but we'll kind of say it together. We'll pray it together here. You don't have to close your eyes. You can if you want to. But let's say it together, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Wow. Some people have a little bit of a discussion about is it amen or amen. And I found out that, you know how poor college students, how they end their prayers? Ramen. And then, of course, the folks in Jamaica, amen. So there's two different ways, but we finish that prayer. Does anybody know what amen means? Let it be. Let it be so. I want to talk about 6 keys. Here they are. Number one, and you can remember these very easily. They all begin with the letter P. The first one is praise. And I hope you've been doing that ever since you came in this morning. Praise. We begin by expressing love to God in those lines, that line that says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I made a big mistake driving in this morning, called my brother, because he's a deep, deep theologian, all right? And he started talking about the word hallowed. Here we go. And he said, think about the audacity of saying that I am going to hallow his name. He said, think about that a minute. We can't do that. We can't raise God's name any higher than it's already been lifted. He said, basically what that's saying is, help me live my life worthy of being able to call myself a child of God. Hallowed be thy name. In my life, may people see God's name lifted up. Look at this A part there. Part of that praising is adoration. That is praising God for who He is. Praising God for who He is. Many times we jump right past that. I was in Nashville again another time. Boy, I've been in Nashville a lot now that I think about it. And they brought us in there because it was like a writer's conference. Now, I wasn't a writer. I was what they called, somebody came up with this name, an ideator. An ideator. All I did was sit there and think of ideas. That's a tough job. So they're all talking, working on this writing. Okay, John, what do you think? Ooh, it's ideas. But we had a guy stand up and did this. He said, he started singing that little song, Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you, how I love you. And then he said, he looked at us and said, what is it about God the Father that you love and adore? And everybody shared something. And then we sang the next verse, Jesus. Sing it with me. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Then he turned to us and said, name something you love about Jesus. Something you adore about the Son, Jesus. And then the last one, Spirit. Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. What do you adore about the Spirit? What do you adore about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? His presence, His power, His comfort. With Jesus, it was things like He sacrificed for us. He died on the cross. He came down from heaven and lived a perfect life. God the Father was the Creator. He had the whole plan. That's when we praise God and adore Him through adoration, praising God for who He is. What about letter B? Thanksgiving. Praising God for what He has done. Many, many times in youth, we'll take the whole alphabet and we'll try to go A to Z. Share something you're thankful for that God has done. Thanksgiving is actually coming up not too far away. And reminded me of the guy that on New Year's Eve, they had a big New Year's gathering. And about 30 minutes after New Year's had come in, he made a statement to everybody, and the guy was watching, and everybody laughed because he said, you know, I haven't had a shower all year. And, of course, 30 minutes ago. So the guy listened in, he got the laugh. He said, I'm going to try that one day. Problem was, he tried it on Thanksgiving. Not a good day to say something like that. It got kind of spoiled the atmosphere there at Thanksgiving. But we have Thanksgiving coming up, and you know what? We need to thank God for what He has done. He's doing things, miraculous things all around us all the times. Keep our ears open and watch closely. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. When we come in the morning, are you coming in with a thankful heart? Are you coming in ready to praise Him with music like this group? There's not a better group up here. I think Charles was saying that and Irene. They're part of this great group up here. That this is exciting to hear the music each week, but to praise God during that time. The key here is this. God answers the prayers that acknowledge who He is. God answers the prayers that acknowledge who He is. He answers all our prayers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. But there is that key. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Pastor Richard Doherty, some of you knew him. We had an incredible funeral and memorial service for him. And shared, I don't know if we sang that song, but that was one of his favorite. His wife, he had remarried Star, our friend Star Calloway, and she was talking to us after he had passed on. And I was talking, for some reason, I got talking about Rich Mullins and his song, Awesome God, and she said, you know, that was the song that was playing when he went into heaven. Our God is an awesome God. Remember that when you pray. Second one, purpose. I commit myself to doing God's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You know, in the Old Testament, what they do for the sacrifices, they had to kill an animal. And then they'd have to do it again. They would ask for some sins to be forgiven. They would do it again. They would do it again. How about this? We can be a sacrifice for God and live for Him and do it while we're living. We don't have to lay down and die. We can be a living sacrifice who serves God. What a privilege that is. If we weren't allowed to do that, if we weren't able to be a part of His purpose, when we got saved, He'd just take us on to heaven. But now He says, you know what? Not only have I saved you, I want you to be a part of my plan, bringing the kingdom of God from heaven here to earth. The key in this one is living a purpose-driven life that will include several things. Now, I've got a kind of interesting photo. This is a T-shirt photo that came up. The purpose-driven life. Just so you remember this, this would be a Great Disciple Now T-shirt, right? The purpose-driven life. Many of you probably read the book. Here are the five things that he talks about, and you've got them on your outline, I think. Worship, ministry, fellowship, evangelism, and discipleship. Those come up, and you see those, and it says, those are the things that we need to have balanced in our life and in our church. You know, a lot of churches may emphasize evangelism, but they don't have any discipleship. Maybe another church emphasizes fellowship, but there's no ministry. To really and truly grasp what the purpose is of God in our lives, in our church's life, we need to have the balance of all of those. I was doing a funeral of a young man. His name was Pat. And I had been in touch with one of his good friends, a girl named Kim. And we had talked back and forth as we prepared to do the funeral service. And I did something that I don't usually do in a funeral. I've done it more since then, I think, because of what happened. But I challenged the group that was there because I knew there would be some people there who weren't believers, people that hadn't really made a commitment to Christ. And I said, let me challenge you to find and read the book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And I shared that during the funeral service and got finished. And I went back to my office. And this young lady named Kim had sent me an email that I did not see before the service. And here's what it said. Blew me away. I'm sitting there kind of shaking at my desk as I read it. She wrote this. I've been able to go by and minister with Pat recently in the hospital and then again in his home as he had been very sick. And she said, during those times, I've been reading to him a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. I sat there, and I don't remember if I don't know what I did at that moment. It just grabbed a hold of me and said, Lord, when God speaks to us, listen to Him. When He taps you on the shoulder, encouraging you to speak to somebody, to talk to somebody, do it. Third one, provision. It says, I ask God to provide my daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Our small group, our youth group, we've been studying this, and we kind of went a little bit deeper into the Old Testament and found in, you remember when the Israelites were out in the desert and they didn't know where their food would come from? They're going, what's going to happen, Lord? They started whining, complaining. God supplied quail and manna. He supplied meat and bread daily. There it is, daily. You remember the group that said, hey, I don't know, they might have worked on Wall Street or something, said, hey, we're going to go out here and collect a week's worth of that manna. They took it in. They stored it up. Guess what happened? It all spoiled. They didn't follow the instructions. One day at a time. Once again, made the mistake of calling my brother. And he said, you know, that second word, daily, means, if you read the original Greek, supernatural. Give us this day our supernatural bread. Daily bread that's given to us supernaturally. Maybe not even just physical bread, as Jesus said when He was tempted. We don't live just by bread alone,
but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, supernaturally, God feeds us in great spiritual ways. What needs can we pray about? Here we go. We've been through praise. We've been through purpose. We're on provision, providing for us. What needs can we pray about? We can pray about all of them. There's not a single need in your life that you can't lift up and pray to God about. It might be a class that you're struggling with in school. It might be a sporting event. It might be a job situation. It might be a health issue. It might be any number of things, and you pray about it. It was like the two little boys at Grandma's house, and they were praying their nightly prayers. They were getting ready to pray. And the one little boy prayed very quietly, said, "Dear God, I'd like to have a puppy." The second boy, his turn to pray, and he said, "Please, Lord, I need a bike." And the first boy, after they'd finished praying, said to him, "You know, God can hear you without shouting." He said, "Yeah, but I wanted Grandma to hear me." Sometimes God uses grandmas, right? That's true. Providing. Look at Philippians 4:19. "God will supply all your needs from His riches in glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us." All the riches of heaven. I had a pastor one time, he said, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a little room there, and we're walking through, and they said, "Hey, what? Look in this room." You may not want to look in the room, but he said, "Look in this room." He said, "Open it up," and said, "These are all the things you could have had if you just prayed about it." Not that we want to have, you know, more, give me more, more, more. But, you know, there are a lot of things we just don't pray about that we ought to pray. Pray specifically. Look at this. We had a speaker at chapel in seminary. And I don't remember his first name. I wish I knew his first name. His last name was Scott. He was an incredible preacher. Back in the day, the pastors used to wear suspenders. Do I have that picture up there? That's not him, but that's kind of the suspender idea, right? And these preachers, they would get going, man. They'd have the suspenders, bang. They'd slap the suspenders. Jason, maybe during the music once in a while, do that. And they were doing the suspenders. He was speaking at chapel, and he told about his grandson. Here we go again, the grandparents. And he said, the grandson came up to him and said, "Granddad, I would like some new tennis shoes." Now, believe me, this was like 30 years ago. This is a, wait a minute, 40 years ago? Almost 40 years ago. And he said, his son told him, "How much are the shoes?" And I'm going to take it up to today's time, right? "About $200, Granddad." Granddad just dropped his head like, man, I could buy 10 or 20 pairs of shoes for that back in the day. And then he went on to say, this pastor, as he was flipping those suspenders, "You know what? I went and got my grandson those shoes." And he said, "You want to know why?" He said, "Because my grandson spent time with me when he didn't want anything." How much time do we spend with God when we don't want anything? Just spending time talking to Him, listening to Him. Most of the time, it's we go right to provision. Not that we need to avoid it, but provision right there. Praise, purpose, provision. A key in that one is be specific. Be specific. Number four, letter P, pardon. I ask God to forgive my sins. That's something we should do every day. Look what it says. Forgive us our debts. Our debts there would represent our sins, our failings when we fall short. Our debts to God will never be completely paid. Jesus paid those on the cross, and we are fully forgiven. If you pray and ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, you are fully forgiven. And somebody says, well, then why do you ask forgiveness every day? Because of the relationship and the fellowship with God, you want to keep that dependence so strong that when you confess your sin to Him, you stay close. You stay close to Him. That relationship is never broken. But that fellowship can be broken, and you want to keep that strong by confessing the failings that we have in our life, the shortcomings. I always tell the story. I would come in late every once in a while at home. But, you know, back in the day, we didn't have the cell phones to call in and text in and say, "Hey, I'm going to be 15 minutes late." my dad would be waiting up. Some of y'all may have been in a situation. Did your dad do that, Jason, waiting up for you? And I come in the door. Now, my dad is a pastor who has the gift of public speaking. So when I come in the door, he started that gift, little public speaking. Ooh, it was loud. You know what I did? I was silent. And I just quietly went to my room, whatever I... So here was the point. At that moment, the fellowship between me and my father was not too great. But the relationship was still there. At that moment, the fellowship was a little strained, but the relationship never left. There are times in our lives when our fellowship with God may be strained. You may feel far away. He doesn't move, by the way. But that relationship, if you've truly given your life to Christ, it's never taken away. The relationship is there. Pardon and forgiveness of our sins. Now, very quickly here, four steps of forgiveness. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal every sin. To reveal every sin. How many sins does it take to keep us out of heaven? Basically one. Any sin. I mean, that's, you're not going to be allowed in heaven. If you have a sin, you take it into heaven, guess what? You don't want heaven to be fallen like the earth has fallen. Adam and Eve sinned. Guess what? There's why we got problems today. That's why we have homework. That's why we have zits, and for kids, I tell the youth, bad breath, all these kind of things. We got horrible things, cancer, pandemics, coronavirus, all this stuff, wars, terrorism. Why? Because sin. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal our sins. B, confess each sin specifically. Confess our sins to Him. C is make restitution to others when necessary. Make restitution to others when necessary. What does that mean? Remember Zacchaeus? He went back and repaid the people he had robbed. There, I don't know if anybody's robbed anybody here, but there was a pastor in New York City, and he said when people would get saved, it might be a month or two before they could actually give to the church because they had to go back and pay off things and help restore relationships and pay back debts that they had done sinfully and make restitution. D, by faith, accept God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness, mercy, and grace, they will wash away all the guilt, the darkness, and accept that and allow that weight to be lifted. Some of you right now are kind of weighted down. You know, it's like that shouldn't even be there because God's already forgiven it. But we accept God's forgiveness, and that should just take off, just be washed away. Look what it says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The key there is faith. One of the acrostics that we use talking our small group and our youth group, faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Faith, do you forsake all and do you trust Him? Fifth one is people. One of the reasons we're having that brunch, to get to meet people. Pray for people. Who are you praying for? Good question. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, our debtors, our trespassers, people that have trespassed against us, people who have hurt us. Maybe there are people in your life, you just need to let them know you're praying for them. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray much for others. Pray a lot for others. Plead for God's mercy upon them. Give thanks for all He is going to do for them. Is there anybody in your life that you have trouble praying for? Probably all of us have somebody like that. But you know, my mom, one of the things she said was, if you're having difficulties with somebody, start praying for them. It'll change your heart. It will change your heart. That very powerful message a few weeks ago that Pastor Charles shared about unity in the church and getting to know each other. I think he gave the Calvary folks a challenge to get to know some of the Crossroads folks. And we can challenge the Crossroads folks. You need to get to know one another as well. It's hard with these masks on. It's hard. I don't know. I can't tell you how many times I've walked up to somebody and embarrassed myself at the grocery store. Thought they were a coach from Charleston Southern. Or I thought I knew them and, did I do your wedding? No, you didn't do my wedding. Yeah, all those kind of things. You got the mask on. And it's like, so to get to know each other here in this church, here, let me just give you a couple of folks that you need to get to know right here. Number one, when you walk in that hallway, there's a young lady out there putting a thermometer right on your forehead. Jason, did you get that? What was your temperature today? Do you remember? 97. Nobody's ever hit the right number yet. So that's Vivian right there. And Vivian is a retired firefighter and EMT, correct? Did I get that right? And I want you to just give a hand for Vivian for stepping up doing something like that. Now I want to introduce a couple folks from Crossroads side of things, too, that you may have met, you may not have. They're kind of quiet, except in our small group. And that is Bill and Shirley Tanner sitting right up. Raise your hand, Bill and Shirley, right there. You guys, I wouldn't even clap yet till you hear the rest of this. Then you'll really clap. You're going to hear something here. Bill is a retired Methodist preacher. God called him to preach, what, in your 50s? He was 59 years old when God called him to preach. He went to seminary. He went to Duke, no less. Were you on the basketball team? I didn't think you. So, now, that's incredible, but you know what he did before that? He was a double agent with what, CIA? Well, maybe I shouldn't say this on Facebook Live. Turn it off, Joe. No. Bill and disincredible, but even more so, Shirley has put up with him. Give him a hand over here. Bill and Shirley Tanner. That's one of the things that we can't do right here is get to know each other. It's so neat when you start meeting people like that. Do you need to, look at this key right here. Develop a list of people that you pray for regularly. Develop a list of people that you pray for regularly. You got that, develop a list. Look at this. There are all the people that you come in contact with probably in about a day. Do you have a list of people you pray for? I tell you, I've got three or four different stories here to tell, but I'm just going to pick one of these. I'm going to pick one that I think you guys probably know, Libby's daughter, Lauren. It used to be Lauren Yon, now it's Lauren Cook. She and her friends, Shelly, Emily, Rachel, and there was a couple others, they would come to youth group about 15 minutes early, and they would go off in a little room, and they would pray for their friends. That's all they did. They had a list of people they were praying for. They had one of the guys they were praying for was almost an alcoholic in high school. He was already almost to that point of being an alcoholic, and he was, he had the fake ID and going out there and buying the alcohol and stuff for his buddies. They were praying for him. His name was Chris. So they're praying each week, and about that time, they had a group come down at First Baptist and did a concert, and basically a revival broke out right there in the school. They had chapel one morning, I guess 8:30. They were still in chapel at lunchtime. The kids wouldn't leave. How many times the church is over and the kids don't leave? Or people, you know, now some of us hang around and talk a little bit, but you know, what time does this get out? You know, chapel. And you know what happened? Chris stood up in front of the school, took out that fake ID and scissors, and cut it up right in front of the whole school. He got saved and changed right there. Chris, since then, has been a youth pastor, a North Charleston police officer, married Shelley. I got to do their wedding back in, it's a while back. And Chris Talbot, y'all probably know Chris. All because of prayer. Somebody prayed for Chris. Who are you praying for? Who am I praying for? When was the last time we shed a tear for somebody that was lost? We need to develop a list of names and start praying for people. Because you know what happens when you do that? Things start happening. You start praying, God's going to do things in your life. I was doing a wedding out at Isle of Palms here a while back, and I got... And talking about Duke, it was a couple of, there were some Duke graduates that were part of this wedding. That we were at the home of a guy who was a quarterback on Duke's football team. His buddy was getting married. He was a defensive back and was on special teams at Duke when he played, and he was getting married. Well, all during this ceremony, I went over and I was talking to the quarterback. I went over to meet his wife. Her name's Chelsea. As I talked to Chelsea, here's what she said. I said, Chelsea, these guys, man, this is incredible. Football players y'all met there and all that. What do you do? She said, I work in the pediatric cancer unit at the MUSC Children's Hospital. Cancer unit for children. Oh, that's pretty neat. Great job, man. What you got? You touch lives. I got in my car and had a text message. Here's what it said. One from somebody in our church. Hasn't been able to come back to church yet because of the pandemic, and said, please pray for a little girl named Palmer. Palmer has cancer. Guess where she is? The pediatric unit at MUSC. I got on my phone. I called her up. I said, you're not going to believe this. We've been trying to get these two in touch where they could actually, the girl Chelsea and the little girl Palmer. And I think Palmer's actually gotten back home now. Here's the other weird thing about it. Think about this. Girl's name's Palmer. We were on Palm Drive on the Isle of Palms. And I kept saying that stuff, and the lady I was talking to, she was just in tears thinking about how God had kind of brought these things together. Well, that little girl, we need to all pray for her. Her name's Palmer. Have a list. Pray for people. And last one, protection. I ask for spiritual protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. 1 John 4:4 says it like this, the spirit who is in you is more powerful than the spirit who is in those who belong to the world. I like the King James where it says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You have the Holy Spirit, you have Christ living in you, who is much more powerful than anything Satan can do. I close, well, here's a picture that happened last Saturday, I think it was a week ago, Franklin Graham and all these people went to Washington to pray. All the folks went to pray. And I'm sorry, Joe, back up one there. And this is the key. Fear not. Fear not. For greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And that's why those people are praying. That's why there were thousands upon thousands of people gathering to pray for our country and all that's going on. I close with this little story. We were doing Disciple Now in Atlanta, Loganville, Georgia, actually. And I was there, and we're getting ready for this Disciple Now. Those of you who don't know Disciple Now yet, it's a retreat where we go into homes of church members. And some of you have hosted. I know y'all have enjoyed that very much. Teresa's actually been a leader and others. And so I'm in this home. I'm going to be the leader. And right in the middle of the night, I'm sleeping there in this unfamiliar house. I don't say unusual house. Unfamiliar house. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and it's like a dark sensation. I felt like Satan himself was right there. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Satan, get out of here. Went to sleep, got up the next morning. Didn't say anything to anybody about that. We're praying before breakfast. The kids are there now, and the young people. We had 8 high school students. The mom prays the prayer for breakfast and says, Satan, get out of this house. It's like, whoa, what? 4 of these guys, or 4 guys, and 3 of them claim to be atheists, 1 agnostic. And I think that's why Satan was trying to just wreak havoc. And those 3 guys, and the 4 guys, just basically showed no interest. We went to a concert then. It was the loudest concert I think I've ever been to. The guy that was a youth minister of the church, it was so loud, he stood in the parking lot. I should have gone out there with him. But we sat there, and at the end of the concert, you know, the guy that was leading the concert and the band, a lot of times when you're doing an invitation time, you kind of have soft music and make it as easy as possible. Everybody stands up, and if you want to come down front, or bow your heads and raise your hand if you want to make a commitment, making it not too tough on folks, not to embarrass them. Who did I embarrass earlier? Jim. Yeah, sorry, Jim. And so this guy said, if you've made a commitment to Christ tonight, we're going to play a song. I want you to just stand up. Nobody's bowing their heads. No soft music. Just playing a song. They're standing up. Just stand up. Nobody stood up. Nobody stood up. Nobody stood up. Finally, the guy who said he was an agnostic, didn't know for sure if there's a God, stood up. The only guy in the whole place that stood up. You know, we got back to the house that night. The other three guys came up to me, and all three of the guys who said they were atheists gave their life to Christ. And it all started with a prayer that said, "Hey, Satan, get out of here. Satan, you're not going to wreak havoc. When you feel that way, remember, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Fear not. Fear not."
Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Jesus, we love you. What a wonderful encouragement we've had today to come before you on our hands and our knees. Lord, you told us we could always pray in the Spirit so we can be at work and just whisper something. But God, either way, it's spending time with you, knowing that you have the power to answer our prayers above and beyond what we are able to ask or even think. And I pray today, Lord, as we go out of here, that you would be elevated in our lives, that the world can see you in us, so they'll want what we have, faith in you, and that people can be saved from their sins and delivered from hell. For one day you're coming back, and one day all this work will come to an end. Help us, Lord, to be working in your mission field now before it's too late, so others can know you as our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, use us now as your lights in this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.